Father, thank you for a new day of life and for a chance to enjoy your Sabbath. I pray that all of us here, that you'll forgive us of our sins and that we will be open completely to the Holy Spirit and to your leading and teaching, and that we will really experience the beauty of the Sabbath as you intended to give it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I'll be reading out of the New King James this morning, John chapter 3 and verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Thank you. Okay, it's a hot day. It's really stuffy. Everybody up. Stand up. It's not fair to make you sit and sit and sit. Take a couple deep breaths. Yeah, open the windows as much as you possibly can if you want to. It just seems like it'd be better to get some more airflow in here. Okay, you feel a little bit awake? All right, you can have a seat. I want you awake because this is going to be fun. You know, some of you know that I mentioned I was at a bug store recently in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I love bugs and rocks and fossils and stuff like that. And so I bought a bunch of them. They're dead, so don't worry about that. I'll be passing them around. I left most of them home, but I brought the butterflies today. I have three of the, well, I've got one more at home I didn't bring for a certain reason. I got three more that they're doing for me and they're gonna get to me. I wish I had all six of them today, but the ones I got for you are really cool. One of them is the most beautiful, considered the world's most beautiful butterfly. So I'm gonna pass those around in a minute. But the scripture reading this morning, John 3:17, it gets overlooked and overshadowed because John 3:16 is always, you know, so much more popular. But that's a simple and powerful, beautiful thought that he did not come here to condemn. He came here to save. I mean, that's obviously his overall agenda, but what is God's agenda? What's his purpose? What is he trying to accomplish? Because there's more than just saving us. So I'm gonna say part of the verse and you finish the rest of it for me. It's John 10:10. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. That's what his goal is, abundant life for you. And all that he does, in a lot of quotes I'm gonna be sharing this morning, I'm not going to put most of them in my own words. They're just too beautiful to change. They're from Steps to Christ. If you haven't read that in a while, you need to get that book out. It's just food for the soul. One of them was, in all that he does, he has the well-building of his children in view. He has something vastly better to offer than what we are seeking for ourselves. And how do I know that's true personally? Because only a God who loves beauty and giving beautiful gifts would make butterflies. You know, enemies, they come up with the rack and ways to torture you and hurt you, scaffold, firing squad. That's what enemies do. That is not the behavior of what you see God doing. God's making pink flowers and butterflies and all kinds of fascinating lizards and things to interest and teach and show us, you know, lessons and the different ways he loves us. So the first one, lovers, like I mentioned in my God of Pink sermon, lovers find flowers, candy, jewelry, and beautiful things to give. This is not the world's most beautiful butterfly. I'm going to save that one for last. So if you stay awake through the whole sermon, you get to see it. I'm going to pass these around. Just please be careful, you know, when handling them. Just make sure you don't drop them. The male, take a guess. Which one's the male? The little one, the decorative one, the colorful one. God shielded a lot of the female species of the world to make them protected because they are the ones that have to nurture the young. But the male's on top, the green one. So if you would like to pass that around. Sure. But Jesus says something very interesting. Consider the lilies, specifically commands you. Consider them. And then he draws our attention to, you know, the fact that he has an intimate awareness of every bird that falls. And then Proverbs says, you know, to look at the ants, you know, how they prepare for winter, you know, and how they're so industrious. All of nature is designed to teach us and encourage us. So what are butterflies teaching us? Well, number one, that God can do the impossible. Making Peter walk on water is no more miraculous than making a worm fly. I mean, to transform the entire anatomy, internally and externally, into a thing that can fly, something that is forced to grovel in the dust, It's a very humble method of crawling along the ground, trust me. To make it, to give it wings to fly, that is miraculous. But because we're so continually surrounded with the miraculous, we lose sight of the fact that we are just, we're surrounded by miracles and power and glory and beauty every day. And if you didn't know that, you know, caterpillars turn into butterflies, and somebody told you that this was possible, you'd think it sounded like fairy tales or magic. But it's only because we're so familiar with this stuff that we can't fully imagine life without this stuff. It's just become, we take it for granted, unfortunately. So we blah, blah, blah over the verses, and we blah, blah, blah in one sense over the miraculous beauty around us in nature that God is trying to speak to us through. But number two, the second thing that the caterpillars and, you know, butterflies teach us is the caterpillar doesn't worry about how it's going to turn into a beautiful winged creature. It trusts the process. And it says in the Bible, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We know that. But Philippians 1:6, I'm going to say the first part. You tell me the rest of it. I know you know this one. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will... He'll be faithful to complete that. We don't have to worry about how he's going to do the impossible with us spiritually. Every time you get concerned that you're going to fail a salvation, go look at a caterpillar or a butterfly. Better yet, get one of these cool things and hang it on your wall. Keep it on your nightstand. Have a picture of it. Do something to remind yourself. You should have your rooms and your houses and you surrounded by evidences of his love. Whichever one floats your boat, there's a million different ways you can be reminded of his love in addition to just reading. Reading is just one way he's trying to speak to you. Let him speak to you in some of these other ways. Let him comfort you and assure you that he can do the impossible. So don't worry about how he's going to turn an unclean thing into a clean thing. If he can do it with a caterpillar, he can do it with you. A life in Christ is a life of restfulness. That's also steps of Christ. If we dwell on our faults and our failures, they magnify. Whatever you focus on gets bigger. So it is Satan's constant effort to get you to focus on whether it's other people's faults or your own failures, busy, stressful, hectic lives, amusement. It doesn't matter what he's just trying to get your eyes off God. That's his sole goal. That's the only thing he wants. So every day, we should be focusing and reminding ourselves of evidences of God's love. This one, I think both those and I know this final one's from Indonesia, but I think that one's from Indonesia too. It should say on the back of it. But this set is from Africa. And to me, they look just like pansies. I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong, but... when I pass these around, these are African, you know, they're blue with stripes and stuff, really neat. And they're not as maybe shiny as a blue Morphos, which is one of the ones I'm getting later. But it's a neat and amazing butterfly. Can you pass that around? So what else does he want? What else is his goal, God's goal? Peace. And he who makes pansies and butterflies that look like pansies, you know, that's the type of God that wants peace, not just in a little straggling, you know, tiny amount for you, but in great abundance. If he makes that kind of many numbers of butterflies, that many numbers of flowers. And I want to give you a biblical verse to support that. Isaiah 48:18, if you want to turn to that, you can. Otherwise, I will read it in just a second. But Isaiah 48:18 is one of my favorites. And this is Jesus talking to Israel, who had constantly wandered away from him in Isaiah 48:18. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Their peace, again, not just in small amounts. That's not what he's looking for you. He's looking to give you peace in enormous amounts, river quality. Now, in these commandments that he mentions, this was one of my, I just thought this quote was absolutely beautiful. This is on page 48, Steps to Christ. He requires us to perform only those duties that will lead our steps to heights of bliss to which the disobedient can never attain. That's the point of commandments. That's the point of what he's trying to do. Heights of bliss that the disobedient will never experience. Paul knew and shared this great desire God has for us. And in Ephesians 3, I'm going to do 14 through 19. If you care to turn to that, Ephesians 3. This is a famous one, you'll recognize it. Ephesians 3, starting in 14 through 19, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory," and that he's rich beyond measure in power and love, "to be strengthened with might." So he's praying that will be granted according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. See, your strength is God's agenda. You remember, I've used this verse over and over again. I love, we'll get back to this in just one second. One of my favorite top verses now at this point is 2 Chronicles 16:9. "For the eyes of the Lord run through to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong." He's hunting to show himself strong on your behalf. He's trying to find somebody that will let him show the mount he loves and the mount he wants to empower you to do what seems impossible to you spiritually. So your strength is his specific agenda, his chosen agenda. Okay, verse 17. "That Christ may dwell," this is the point, "so that not only you'll be strong, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height." He wants you to know firsthand, basically, how good he really is. That's his agenda. And in vast amounts of peace, and in vast amounts of love, in vast amounts of power, nothing in any stingy measure, not just one butterfly, one kind of flower, in every way possible, lavish, beyond your wildest imagination. But again, remember, Matthew says, "And he did not many mighty works in that town because of their unbelief." The only thing that stops you from experiencing all this stuff is your own unbelief or your lack of focus on him. That can also be part of the problem. The final verse, where were we? 19, "To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge." It's beyond your wildest imaginations and understanding, but he wants you to try to learn it anyway. "That you may be filled with all of the fullness of God." So the final butterfly I want to show you, like I said, is considered the world's most beautiful butterfly, and I had to have it the minute I saw it because it looks like somebody that had magic fairy dust went poof on a black butterfly. Look closely. Get your glasses out if you need glasses. Look at all the tiny little polka dots. I'll show you in a second. Amazing. You're just going to be amazed. So pass that around. Although they did just find one in the last couple of years that I think that they may end up saying is one slight step better because it had pink on it, a little bit pink on it also. Oh yeah, when you're done, Stephanie, when you're done, would you take each of them up to my mom and dad and everyone else up there? Sorry, guys. Okay, so where was I here? One thing I want to point out is that butterflies are a gift specifically for you and I. And I'm going to prove that because I've studied the flood, the forces of the flood, extensively. I study you probably all know some of this, but I study volcanoes, tsunamis. I talk to geologists. I mean, I write them. I get firsthand photographs, you know, like the Sumatra tsunami. When I finally do my flood presentations, you'll get a chance to see some of this stuff. But I research this stuff extensively. It's not a wonder Satan feared for his life. The forces involved with that flood are beyond, I mean, the whole earth wobbled on its axis. So there's no way that butterflies could exist at this point if God didn't direct special, specific time and attention to make sure that they got on that boat and got through so that you and I would be blessed by them. They are a specific gift to us. They could have easily been one of the ones that, poof, gone, bye-bye, no more of them. There are many species that were wiped out completely that do not exist at this point on Earth. But butterflies are a delicate thing to have made it through the flood. It was his specific gift to us. So that's why it's, in my mind, an evidence of his love. And I've got one final quote I want to read to you, and And this is what I encourage you to do. Take some of these quotes, take your favorite Bible verses, take your favorite quotes, put them on a nice piece of, regular paper, laminate it, and stick it by your bedside, put it in your purse. I've got short ones, I've got big ones, but I keep these things with me, and I read them, and they are feeding a mindset that is strengthening and strengthening, and reminding me that God really loves me. And so this is one of these quotes from Steps to Christ that I thought was amazing. Our Heavenly Father waits to bestow upon us the fullness of His blessing. Keep your wants and joys, your sorrows, your cares, and your fears before God. You cannot burden Him. You cannot weary Him. He who numbers the hairs of your head is not indifferent to the wants of His children. The Lord is very pitiful and tender of tender mercy, James 5:11. His heart of love is touched by our sorrows and even by our utterances of them. Take to Him everything that perplexes the mind. Nothing is too great for Him to bear, for He holds up worlds. He rules over all the affairs of the universe. Nothing that in any way concerns our peace is too small for Him to notice. There's no chapter in our experience too dark for Him to read. There's no perplexity too difficult for Him to unravel. No calamity can befall the least of His children. No anxiety harass the soul. No joy cheer. No sincere prayer escape the lips of which our Heavenly Father is unobservant, or in which He takes no immediate interest. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds, Psalm 147:3. The relations between God and each soul are as distinct and full as though there were not another soul upon the earth to share His watch care, not another soul for whom He gave His beloved Son. So you are special. It was you He had in mind when He thought of those butterflies. So butterflies are just one evidence of His great love for us, and every time you see one from now on, don't lose the lessons He's trying to say to you through them. Think to yourself, He can do the impossible. He knows what He's doing. Be able to transform Him, to transform you. He does this, He does His job perfectly, and He loves me. Those are the types of lessons you should be getting from nature. That's butterfly love. Help us to understand with our hearts in ways we've never had before the immensity of Your love and power. In Jesus' name, amen.